For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerize. It is the beginning of summer. And listen, I've got some good things and some bad things to share with you. Are you ready? Here's the good thing. I was coming into summer hot, okay? Like literally, it's the day after Memorial as I am taping this. And I was coming in hot. And let me tell you how I was going to summer hard this year. I mean, I was really going to be all in. As my friend Sherry says, like, this is hot girl summer. And so I was getting so prepped up for summer that I used spray tan. Are you ready for that? Yeah. I did. Like, I cared enough. Like, shave my legs and put the tan stuff on that you spray on. And by the way, I'm not orange. Like, I really nailed it. And I was going into summer strong. Here's where we kind of fell short. It's the day after Memorial as I'm taping this, okay? The day after Memorial Day. It's the 28th. This podcast is being released on the 29th in the morning. Never do I procrastinate like this. Never is it this late when I'm taping it. But yes, sure enough, it's this late. And you know what happened? Well, let's start with my son had Tommy John surgery this morning early. And so that's a whole thing. And, you know, it's the end of the school year, it got crazy. And then it's all sneaking up on me and I needed to do this for the podcast and my son's having surgery. Well, the storm of all storms came through Dallas. If you're not following me on social, go to Cynthia Ganoff and you will catch these things. The storm of all storms came through. And this morning when we're getting up, trying to get out the door to take my son over for his surgery, I tell you this, we couldn't even get out of our alley. Trees had fallen. Our trampoline was in our front yard. Yes, you heard me correctly. It flew over our fence and was laying in our front yard. Tree branches down, all the things. Well, we finally got my son to surgery. We get back. We have no power. And so as I'm taping this, I am taping this with all kinds of like portable power banks. I don't know what kind of audio we're going to get, everyone. There is no room for error. Whatever I say that's dumb, whatever I slur my words, can't fix it. So that's where we are. That's what we get for procrastinating, everybody. And I went in so strong. I went in so strong with spray tan on my legs. All the things. And here we are, day one of summer, last minute procrastination, haven't showered, been into surgery, doing all the things. No electricity. Bless our hearts over here. But the good news is we have Ken Wilkes today, and I want you to hear him. And so we are going to do whatever it takes to get this podcast out to you guys. And Ken Wilkes is talking about, like, how do I do summer with my teens? How do I survive it? Now, hear me. This applies to all of our kids. It doesn't just have to be teens, but I do love the word he has for those of us that have teens in the summer. It can get a little tricky. Speaking of teens, I don't know if you can hear that, but literally my son just started his truck. Remember the cherry bomb exhaust? He has started it at the window next to my office and it's a loud one. So that's where we are. It's summer. It's teens. It's wheels off. But you know what? You are here and it's mesmerized and I'm so thankful. So here we go. Ken Wilkes. Dr. Ken Wilkes, how are you?
Hi, Cynthia. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like last time you were on, we may have talked about this, but I was like, okay, you've been on between my old show and my new show like four or five times. And then we talked about maybe like, do I give you a green jacket or is that just the Masters or I don't know.
I think we agreed on something, yeah. Something expensive, but I can't remember what it was. But
and something
I'll
that you haven't
I'll remind you.
And something you haven't received yet, I'm assuming.
No, I did mail. Not get a green jacket. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, here we are, and we're chatting again. And fun fact, everyone, I was on Dr. Ken's podcast. When was that? Like, we're taping this right now. We're taping this in April, so maybe March-ish? I don't know.
You know, I can't even remember. It was, yeah. Everyone loved it. Cynthia is your new best friend.
It was that was the title, y'all, and that was such a nice thing to say.
Well, titled it after we talked to you, because Jessica and I both were like, she is so great. It was April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay. Yeah. So if you don't listen to the podcast, to Dr. Ken's podcast, now bear with me, everyone. I'm going to say it wrong. I always do. Feeding the mouth that bites you Did I get it right?
Very good. You did right. That's right.
Okay. Well, if you're not listening, you already need to be listening, everyone, because he's so wise. But yeah, I was on it a couple months ago and it was super fun. So thanks
for having me. We don't even interview people. I mean, it was like, no, we'll interview Cynthia. We've had very few interviews. It's usually topics just about parenting.
Yeah. Well, it's a great resource. I know me and all of my friends are always like, did you hear the new one? They talked about this or that. So always relevant. Okay. So we're doing a series over here on Mesmerize on like, how do I fill in the blank? And so Dr. Ken, we're talking about everything from like, you know, how do I manage menopause to how do I make it through the summer to how do I, all of
no
it.
No idea on the menopause thing. You're on your own.
Well, no, that's why I brought you here. So I guess we'll. So I was thinking out summer and our teenagers. And, you know, I think we want to do it well. I think we want to be intentional. We also don't want to kill them. Like there's some mix between like, oh my goodness. And so I thought, let's talk about that. Like, how do I do summer well with my teens? And so as a part of that, you were sweet enough to say, yeah, I'll give you five things to think about. And so with all of that being said, hit us with number one or five. Are you going in a certain order?
You know, definitely not in an order. I don't even know why you picked five, but I'll do whatever you ask me to do.
Appreciate but
I did, as you know, it's a big deal to me for parents to think about teenagers differently from how you think about your children. So especially if you both work, you're already thinking about, oh, great. You know, I've got, my kid is off school all this time. How am I going to keep them happy, keep them interested, you know, just entertain them? Well, I don't mind if you want to do that with your children, but you really need to be careful with teenagers. Teenagers are young adults, and they need, among other things, to know how are they really, what is their purpose? How are they needed? So you don't want to plan just a fun, entertaining summer for teenagers. It's so weird. Think about it. How many parents do you know that will tell you the story of, you know, we went to the beach and my kids loved it, but my 14-year-old was in there playing video games and he's surly the whole time. Well, yeah, because it's different with teenagers. But what's different is they're young adults. They're very easily sort of offended and need to be treated more like adults. Like, this is what we need you for. And you must do this. So ironically, it's not a good idea for parents to think about doing a summer with teenagers that is just fun-filled for them. And again, I'm not against that, but I would really think differently with teenagers. So here's in no particular order. Number one, set absolute limits on screens and announce those limits in advance and stick to them. You really need to be aware. You'll know who you are, parents. Of the potential of teenagers, children too, but teenagers, where if I don't set something up in advance, there's going to be a tsunami of, can I play video games? Video games. And so you really want to set, if you're married and two parent household, both of you announce in advance, here's the deal. This summer, there's not going to be any more than 2 hours on any given day. That's the max. And on these days, there's only 1 hour, and stick to it. And then when you wake up in the middle of July and realize you haven't stuck to it, go back to it. Like, forgive yourself, but keep going. Because it is, for many families, it is a really sad rut that if you don't do something, they're going to fall into the, they did video games all summer long. And so you really need, and screens, really. It's not just video games. It's, you know, social media. It's set realistic limits that you will keep.
Yeah. Okay. I have so many questions around this. You kind of answered my first one. And so, for example, my teenage son, he is not a gamer, but he is an Instagrammer. And so that would also fall under your constructs of like saying, absolutely, okay, like 2 hours. And it's hard, I think, with phones, especially Dr. Ken, because you know this, like what starts off is they're texting back their dad, you know, my husband about something, then turns into, wait, will you Google this for me? Then next thing I know, 30 minutes later, I'm like, wait, what are you doing? And then it's been on Instagram. Like, it's hard to know when he is and isn't. So you're saying like, set the limits, do the things that we all know, the parental controls, whatever you got to do to like put it in a force in effect.
And you really want to think about limits on the screens. You know, a lot of times parents are thinking about, well, I put these screen time limits so that they can only do Instagram for 30 minutes. And then that's fine, maybe. But really, there needs to be, especially with cell phones or smartphones, you really want to think more about a basket that sits in the middle of your kitchen, and the phone lives there. You don't carry it around all over. So you're really limiting how much time they're looking at a screen. And really, you too. You know, that's what's absorbing our focus. I won't go into the research, but literally it reduces your attention to the real moment you're in, and you really need to push back. So it's actually, yes, games versus Instagram kind of, but mainly it's how much time are you looking at a screen?
Okay. And then I think you answered my second question. I think we all know why we need to limit it, but top reason limited is one is we want them in the moment. You're saying that.
Yep.
Also the science of how it's recreating, changing the dynamics in their brain, right?
It is, although I'm a pet peeve of mine. We talk about brain far more than we actually know. It changes your mind, which is not the same thing as brain. And how many times do people talk about your brain is wired to, there's no wires in your brain. That's just an analogy. The point is that, yeah, it absolutely changes your focus, your attention span. Kids are more irritable if they've spent more time on, you know, looking at screens. And the really strange part is you can tell how difficult it is when you just give a natural expectation that you will not be looking at computer or phone screens during the day for more than 2 hours. You'd think you've pulled their oxygen tube. Like how can we live if we don't? Well, that's the problem right there. So yeah, I would. As a matter of fact, I'm a big fan of everyone rethinking. You know, there's a rise in dumb phones, and I have a dumb phone, so that you can't. I can't get a picture on my phone, and I can carry it around, but all I'm doing on it, it's an e-ink screen. So all I'm doing, if you see me on my phone, I'm texting, or maybe looking up a podcast, but I'm not looking at any. There's no photo, no video, no apps. It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And that's actually becoming quite cool among young 20-somethings because they are seeing that this is robbing us of our lives.
It's a good word. I'm going to promote a podcast I had on earlier, Joey Odom. If y'all haven't listened to that one, Dr. Ken, he'd be great on yours too. But he talks all about, am I addicted to my phone? But he has, I mean, he's actually has a product that his company came up with because he messed up and missed a moment that he didn't want to miss in his kid's life. And so they have this like box. And anyway, it's really cool.
Is that the block thing? Is that the guy that did that block? That is an app that is a physical box that if you
yes wow. And he's a great everyone just stand by as Dr. Ken and I are talking podcasting. He's a great interview too. Like I thought he maybe one of the top ones we've had, but just a great guy. And so anyway, Joey Odom was on this podcast, but yeah, he's a great interview.
I love that idea.
Yeah,
I really
he's
do
great. Okay, number two,
what did I say is number two? Oh yeah, you really need to establish expectations for household chores. Teenagers are especially, it's good for children too, but teenagers particularly, you really don't want to hold back on, hey, this summer, I'm going to need you to do these things. And I mean, like we need it. It's so funny how it's hard in a suburban life, for example, all of a sudden you kind of don't need your children to do anything. And that is not good for your children. So they always end up doing trash or whatever. But I think it's really important with teenagers who are young adults to talk to them more openly about, look, this siding here, this problem we're having at the house, we really don't have the money to hire someone. So we need you and your brother to this summer spend these weeks, and I'll try to get a guy to help us figure this out, but we need you to do this. It's actually, again, it's an important need that young adults have is, what am I here for? What is important to me? So you don't want to take the same expectations you would have with a 4-year-old. You don't want to burden your 4-year-old with, well, we don't have the money for this. But a 14, 15-year-old needs to be treated with the respect that you wouldn't say it to a younger child, but we need your help with this. So that your regular chores, those things also need to be set in advance, and don't be offended if your teenager, unless you give them consequences, they're not going to do it because, you know, they don't care about your house. So expect them to, here's what the chores are. Here's the expectation. Here's the consequence if you don't do it.
Yeah.
And make it stick.
Mm, that's good. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking to my daughter. She's just out of the teen years, but last summer she came home from college and she just worked on my podcast. It was the first summer that I needed her to edit it and all that. So she didn't have like a job and she wasn't really taking a lot of classes. And we talked about how last summer was the hardest summer she's ever had because she's like, I didn't know I craved schedule and accomplishment to know like every day, this is the expectation. And at the end of the day, to be able to check the box and be like, okay, like I got that done, where she, you know, is enjoyed working this summer or had pretty concrete things, whether that's even just, you know, teaching private lessons, coaching little private lessons for kids in softball or whatever the thing was that she was doing. And so we were talking about this summer and how she would sit differently and have an actual job with a schedule. And so I think that kind of underscores what you're saying. She's old enough to articulate. That's what she needs.
Right.
Where my son maybe couldn't, but we know that now, that what a big component that is to keep some structure and to keep some responsibility and some accomplishment in their lives.
Well, and part of the, you know, I would say the same thing about if they can, it's very good to require them to get a job. And if they, but with teenage, a lot of time that job might be either helping at your work. You've got that friend's dad who owns a warehouse, you know, it's okay to help them get that job, but, you know, you really want to, you know, set the requirement of this is what we need you to be doing around the house. This is what, you know, you'll need to be working at least this amount in the summer, you know, 10 hours, 20, 40 hours a week, whatever. But to make that stick, you have to kind of always think about the next chess move. So if by June 15th, you haven't lined anything up, then I've already talked to the church and the youth guy says you can come help him, but you won't get paid for it. So if you can find something better, good for you, but you're going to be required to do X amount of responsibilities at home and outside the home.
That's good. Okay. Number three,
require some level of outside activity, but allow their own choice. So a lot of times it's like, we want him to go, you know, there's this camp he's gone to, we like him going there, but all of a sudden this summer he doesn't want to go. Or, you know, there's these classes that they take that they used to like, and now he's not sure. With teenagers, you always want to give the respect of, here's what you're free to choose, here's what you're not free to choose. So you might set, you don't have an option, you have to be out of the house X number of hours per week, or X weeks per month doing something. And if you don't like the camp thing you used to do, which we wish you would, but you don't, then fine, but you have to find something equivalent. And if you don't, then you have to go back. So in other words, it's not just, we want you to do this and we don't care that you know anything. Teenagers are always about, well, when can I use my own judgment? You give them the message that, look, maybe we're wrong. Maybe you don't like that camp, but you're not going to sit around the house that, you know, for the entire month that you normally go. So you have to find something equivalent that you will do. And if you don't, then you have to go back to the thing we say.
Okay. And so when you're talking about this outside activity, a camp, whatever that is, and I hope I'm not stealing one of your other points, but I've heard you say this before. Sometimes we, especially with kids that are used to gaming or their phone, they're not used to real interaction. Like they've gotten really comfortable with fake interaction.
Yes.
Is this part of why we're doing this, is to be like, you need face-to-face real time with people?
Yes. That's exactly right. And I think that's important to say out loud that, you know, like, yeah, I got a job helping. I actually know I have a family member doing this. I have a job on my computer testing AI interactions and so forth. So good. I got a job where I'm 6 hours a day alone on my computer. Great. That doesn't count. That's not what we said. Like you said, you can absolutely say, well, but that doesn't fulfill the, you have to be interacting with human beings. There's nothing normal about it sitting in front of a screen all the time. You really have to push back against that.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's, okay. I would absolutely add that, or feel free to add that as a requirement. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Number four, talk with older teenagers about ways that you need their help with younger siblings. I wish, you know, I did okay with this, but this is one of the regrets I have. I wish I had pushed more about the needs that younger kids have and tell older kids that. And teenagers, again, it's back to showing them respect and the respect of, you know, not only do I expect you not to be talking like that to your sister, but more than if you're a 4-year-old, you're 17, you know, your sister's going through a tough time. I need your help with this. I need you to take her to some stuff. Excuse me. You know, I need you to help with these things because these younger kids are struggling or whatever. You need to be willing to tell the older teenager that in a kind of like shared family way, so that they recognize that their role in other people's lives is critical. We need each other. And we have an odd way of now parenting that focuses almost like each individual child is siloed unto themselves and they're not involved. You know, how they interact with others isn't important. Or even worse, the interactions they have with others should fulfill what they need, the team you're on or whatever. And no, people need you to serve them, and especially younger siblings. I just read an article about psychologists who are looking into why do so many Latino families have strong connection with each other and support of each other. Of course, we start by looking at brain science, which is why do we do that? I have no idea. Who cares?
It's how they're wired. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, there are, Cynthia, there are no wires in the brain.
Oh, sorry. You said, I tuned
you
out.
That. You did that on purpose. But yeah, it is like, okay, so now we saw that this part of your brain lights up when you're doing this. So what? The point is, I think that definitely comes from most of the shared history of certainly in this country, Latino or Mexican families that have immigrated a generation, two generations ago. I expect that that's a big part of it, that they don't have to pretend like they need each other. They need each other. And that's a value system that certainly for Christians, that's absolutely our value system, that humans need each other because we're one family in God and we need to support each other. So anyway, but I think young adult teenagers who are young adults need to be brought in on that message. And this is, you know, we need your help with your brother and things like that. And don't be afraid to burden them with that. They're not fragile 6-year-olds. They're teenagers, young adults.
Yeah. And I love that. And that applies in my house. Cause you know, I have a teenager, a young adult, a teenager and a first grader. And so that does apply. But for those listening, maybe who their teen is the youngest or an only, I would encourage this too. It's interesting. My son taught baseball lessons last year to a bunch of like middle school kiddos. Well, then the parents went on to ask, it kind of evolved into, would you take him to Chick-fil-A for lunch afterwards? Or could you come over and just play video games for a little while? And I was just talking to a couple of moms the other night, and this was from last summer, but they were saying what a big impact that had on their sons. Not because my son's this huge role model was like, I'm going to teach you something, but just to be, you know, but to be around an older kid that plays the sport they love, that is kind of getting it right in life, that is investing in them, what an impact it made on that child. And so I would even say, like, if you have a kiddo that's, you know, doesn't have a younger sibling or is an only or whatever, just to have them investing in that younger generation in any respect is a big give.
That's a great example. I taught swimming lessons when I was a teenager and discovered that I was pretty good with children. But it was ironically easier for me to, think about being kind and helpful to younger children that are not my little sister than I was to my own little sister. So, you know, bringing that value into your home as well as, like you're saying, having them be a part of that, especially now with more and more people spending less time with each other. I think a teenager that does volunteer work or even paid work to help younger people is really important for both the young adult, teenager, and for the children.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Number 5.
Last one is optional. If you have the money and can, it's really important that teenagers are at the right age for them to see a different culture. So if you can, or you can hit your parents up for an overseas trip or a trip to a different culture and not, here's the funny part, definitely not a kind of wealthy encapsulated vacation experience where we go to a resort. That's not what we're talking about, but it also doesn't need to be per se a very global South. Let's go to Africa. You know, my kids were in Zimbabwe, we went to Malawi, all these things, which is great, but it doesn't have to be that either. It is just in which way is best in your family for your American, this is particularly for United States parents to see other cultures. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Canada doesn't count. So you can't just throw A on the end of what you say and think that's a different culture. I mean, yeah. a different culture. For mm-hmm. For this is a particularly important age. Adolescents now have reached formal operational thought. They can think in what ifs like they never had before, and it's a perfect age for them to gain a worldview and to recognize that mm-hmm. Their own life experience is only a tiny portion of the world's life experience. So if you can, then yeah, I think it's a perfect time to take a teenager, not necessarily everybody, you know, if you're a grandparent listening and you can take, you know, one teenager at a time, anywhere from 12 to 18, if you can, then this is a great time to go to, you know, I don't know, Portugal or mm-hmm. Brazil, Mexico, something where you really spend time in a different culture.
Yeah.
If you can. And again, that's an expensive proposition. I get that. But churches sometimes offer that, you know, mm-hmm. for mission trips. But for teenagers particularly, it's important and can be. For my kids, I can tell you which trips changed my children's mm-hmm. worldview. And their lives are different now because of what they saw when we traveled.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of did a little version of that last year at the end of the school year with my son. And just there was like 10 or 15 moms and 10 or 15 sons. And we went to the border of Texas and South Texas and just did some mission work. And we had a lot of fun too. But what I loved about that, and it was one of the things that we tried to be very, very conscientious about, is this is for them to do. And so moms were very capable, but we're going to let them do it. And just to see your, like when my son, when he was 16, but your 16-year-old rise up and do the things, like we made beds for, you know, low income families that didn't have enough beds for their children, and to see them get out there and learn how to make a bed and put it up in these people's homes that were nothing like what we would call a home, and, you know, to get the mattresses. And it was just really cool to see them take that responsibility. And they do, he came back, changed. And I, you know, if we're going to talk about our pet peeves, my pet peeve is when we do mission work, just to give our own kids perspective. That's not the goal. But
yeah, it's a very good point. That's a very good point. If you talk to missionaries, mm-hmm. one of the struggles they have is the 2-week mission group that can be, I think, awesome, but can also be that group that's biding their time because we're going to spend the last 2 days shopping, you know, and like, I think serving Jesus is supposed to be part of somewhere. But the other thing you mentioned that is important is that it's not a surprise that teenagers probably serve better if you're not in their group. Mm-hmm. If they're, you know, you can maybe be on the trip, but don't be afraid to not be on the trip. But if you're going to be on the trip and they're dividing up in groups, I think most people know this, teenagers, and it shouldn't be offensive, often do better if they're not in your group. And definitely a teenager that is too anxious and doesn't want to be in anything but your group, this kid's way too old for that. The answer is no, you have to be in a group. I'm not going to be there for you. What are you? You're 17. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to show respect for a teenager. And that's what that is. It may feel like you're being ugly or not loving, but I think it's respectful to say, I'm not going to coddle you. You be in a group just like I am, and we'll both do what they tell me to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go over the five and then I'm going to end us with a question I have for you. So here's the five, everyone. Number one, set absolute limits on screens in advance. Number two, establish expectations for household chores. Number three, require some level of outside activity, but let him or her have a choice in it. Number four, talk with older teens about ways you need their help with younger siblings. And number five is optional, but if possible, help your teens see a different culture. And so, wow, those are five.
You said it better than I did. I like that. Yeah, that sounds like a good list when you list it.
No, I mean, right from the source, from the expert. Okay, so let's end with this. As we're going through the summer and knowing our kids are going to start a new school year, you and I both obviously strong believers and trying to get it right in today's culture and not getting it right a lot, all the things that our kids are, especially our kids that are public school, but really wherever they are, they're facing all kinds of things that we didn't face when we were younger. And so I would just wonder this, if we're going to speak into something and try to get, maybe not necessarily in front of it, but try to speak into something that our kids will face in the next school year,
what would you say? Like, would you say, like, we need to be on top of the messaging when it comes to same-sex marriage or transgender or, like, I don't know, or alcohol or pot use? Or what would you say, like, hey, this summer's a good time to be intentional in speaking into this?
Okay, that's an interesting question because a couple things. The first intuition I have is that teenagers can smell intentional conversation a mile away, and mm-hmm. they often don't really lean into that. So intentional conversation with a teenager probably should be intentionally casual.
Yeah.
But then secondly, I think that means what you're talking about is should be taking advantage of downtime that you have together with your teenager and having that in mind about the things you want to talk to them about. But that's just, again, casual. And if you're not going to have a lot of time with them, then summer's no different than any other time. But you really should think about filling that time you have. And then otherwise, I would just follow the general rules about advice giving, which I have in the book. And, every, you know, I talk about there's a big difference between a light lecture. Something that was sweetie, there's a couple of things I wanted to share with you versus, you know, this may seem silly to you, son, but I was wondering about and then. You talk about what you think, but you make sure that they know that this is an optional opinion I have, and you might very well disagree with me. I was just curious. Teenagers have to be really reassured. Mm-hmm. Is this a have to, or is this something I'm free to share and so forth? So, and if it's an important issue, then they respond with, you know, I don't know, then you might say, well, that surprises me because I think, you know, in your generation, this issue of what is justice and equality among people is a big deal. So think about it. And if you don't mind, I think I'm going to talk, I will ask you in a couple of weeks, but it surprised me you haven't thought about it. You know, don't let a young adult, you know, take the position of, well, who cares? I'm not thinking about it. Well, I care. And in this house, we don't see you as a child. You're a young adult and we don't expect you to just think the same way we do. So why don't we talk about this again in a week? But be kind of gentle but persistent in a sort of casual way. That's kind of a lot of stage instruction, isn't it?
Well, that totally makes sense on how to approach it. And so, you know what everybody, because you're in touch with it, you know what everybody's struggling with or trying to put a biblical worldview on. What's the thing that you're like, hey, if you haven't thought this through, think it through because this is something your kids are facing. So what would that be?
That would be look up, search on expressive individualism. Believe it or not, there's a Gospel Coalition series on it. There's some books on it, but that's actually what's at the base of the real tricky stuff everyone's thinking about, whether it's gender diversity or sexuality, all these things. What actually is the bigger bottom line thing that as Christians we oppose is what is best described as expressive individualism. It's a whole different set of values that says the key to your life is finding the authentic you and expressing your authentic inner self, whatever that is. That we don't believe that at all. We absolutely don't express our authentic inner self because there's fallenness in there and sin. And we actually are trying to die to ourselves to let this guy come through and live in our life through us, which is creepy compared to, you know, expressive individualism, this whole authentic silliness.
That's so good. Okay. You guys, I'm just scrolling right now through Feeding the Mouth That Bites You podcast. And when we're taping right now, here's the last few episodes. And this is why you need to be listening to it. Marriage Problems, Separation, Divorce, and Teenagers. Another episode is Teenagers and Religion, Church, Synagogue, Mosque, or Temple. Another one is Porn Revisited. Another one is we interview Cynthia Yanoff, your new best friend. Of course.
Great episode.
Another one is Sociosexuality. Part one, and it looks like part two, neurodiversity and teenagers. Anyway, all that to say, you guys, like if there's a topic you're like, oh, I need someone to speak into it, Dr. Ken has probably covered it.
We try to do heavy lifting there. Yeah,
you do. I try to do really light lifting, like as light as possible. And then if I have to feel heavy, then I call you. I'm like, okay, come on and talk about it.
Silly. Yeah, that's not true.
Last thing before we go, I got to write a little endorsement for
A
new revised version of your book coming out. Will you tell us a little bit about that? Yeah, tell us.
So the second edition. So you take the first book, which is almost 10 years old.
Wow.
And then you add all of the stuff that we've been doing in the podcast, interacting with parents for all these years with the material, and it's expanded. So it's so Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, now it's subtitled Parenting Adolescents into Adulthood, or Parenting Teenagers into Adulthood, is the second edition. So it's the basic book, but it adds a lot more of the question and applied to anything from foster parenting to grandparents to divorce and remarriage to drugs and alcohol, and certainly the sexuality and gender. Just there's application of the Feeding the Mouth That Bites You approach to parenting teenagers to all kinds of stuff. So it's expanded and revised.
Yeah, I'm guessing in over 10 years, some things have changed. You're probably like, if your child has a car phone in a black case that plugs into the ash, do you remember those car phones?
Oh, I do. I do. The bag phones.
When your child gets their bag phone out, please make sure they.
One of the biggest changes, believe it or not, this will surprise you, because I had to put in like second chapter, is this incredible burden of parenting. Parents are just freaking out that there's this inside scoop of information that what if I didn't read the book? But, you know, I've got mothers particularly that have read enough books to have two master's degrees, and yet they never feel they're doing it right. That is ridiculous. Just lighten up. There's no way that, I mean, you're doing better job than your parents did probably, but you still don't feel good about it. Well, that's a weird burden we put on ourselves. So that's actually a new chapter too, just to, I don't think it's titled Lightened Up, but it probably should have been. Just lighten up. You love your kids and you're doing fine.
Yeah. When I speak, sometimes I always start with a little story about just when I had our first kiddo, Kate. Poor first children. Moment of silence for first children.
No, just a moment. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so I was going to do Baby Wise. Do you remember that book back in the day, Baby Wise, Dr. Ken?
Sure.
So I was going to do Baby Wise, and because I was a lawyer back in the day. And so I was like, okay, well, everything's methodical in law. Like if you follow a calendar and you follow the rules of procedure and all that, things turn out well, generally. And I was like, okay, Baby Wise.
Shown that. Right.
And I always tell the story of like literally being like with my 7 day old, I'm sorry, you may not have your bottle until you play for 2 minutes and I will not rock you. I will put you straight in your crib awake. And you know how
that's
went
God's
for me,
way of doing it for sure. Yeah.
So anyway, that went well for me, everyone. Thanks for asking. But all right. Your book is out October of 2024.
This October 15th.
October 15th. Okay, everyone. I will link anything I can in podcast notes, but also when it gets closer, we'll shoot it out on social and everywhere and make sure that we get to talk about it again and get everybody reading.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Hey guys, glad you're with us. And listen, the fact that this podcast even exists today is just by virtue of my daughter being really fabulous because, wow, we will not procrastinate, or let's say I will not procrastinate like this again, but I'm so glad you are here. And listen, I wanted to hear from you guys. What did you think of the Sidetracked episode last week with Tony Collier? Did you enjoy that, having a little break in the series? Enjoy me and Heather doing a little combined effort? I know you love Tony because she's awesome and hilarious, so I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email through website. Leave a review if it's positive, please. And you can always DM me too. But I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank you to Ken Wilgus for being a part of the show. And you guys, here we are. Welcome to summer. You're the very best. Thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family.